And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Dunnick here with you. We're excited. I mean, this music is getting us pumped up. This open is getting us pumped up. Elijah Campbell manning things on the board here at the Hillside.
He's getting us pumped up.
He is. So I was telling Joe Rexroad, again, we did the tag you're at swap in the studio. Robbie will join us here in just a bit. But I was telling Rexroad what I did before I pulled in to the station today. So I rarely ever go to the bank or the ATM anymore. Because, right, we just don't really – do you carry cash? I mean, I don't really carry cash anymore. So it's a rare thing. But it was for a reason, because I think I've told this story to you before. Willie, I told the boys, I was like, you hit a home run in a tournament over the fence, and I'll give you $100. Well, I haven't had to, you know, worry about that this season. Nothing has happened. This weekend they hit two. We hit two. So we have practice tonight, so I've got to get cash because I got to pay out. And the parents
are you sure you want to tell this on the air? This sounds like a pay-for-play scheme. Is this NCAA violation?
Well, I don't think we're governed by Mark Emmert and the NCAA.
So no brown bags here, no McDonald's bags.
You might need a sponsor for at least to be NIL.
We could use a sponsor now that I've probably stepped in it. I hope this is the trend moving forward, but it actually happened twice on Sunday.
You should have consulted me before you did this, because I could have told you.
This is the level when it starts happening?
Yeah. Your season is only beginning in another month or two as they keep getting older and practicing more.
Well, it's pretty clear that I
it's
think
gonna be,
this season
see ya.
Is, this season is
going to
be
You might be
it.
Broke by the end of the summer.
Well,
if your team does what you hope they will do, which is improve and practice.
It
could be a little light in the wallet.
I have to pay out today. So, yeah, this weekend cost me $200.
Well, if your goal is to help, you know, inspire kids to keep practicing and working hard, you might have created a monster.
Yeah. Well, now I've realized that now it's too late. I've already put that out there. So I can't go back on my word. I can't stop it now. I've got to at least see it through the end of the season and then reassess. But, you know, I don't ever go to the ATM. I don't really do that anymore. So I get the receipt, and again, like, I hardly ever pay attention to that stuff. I don't, you know, okay, whatever. But I did glance down at it, and it said available balance, $10.76.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, wow. It's been, like, since college or right out of college since I've looked at my available balance. And it said $10.76. And so I really freaked out. And I'm staring at it. And then it said that I withdrew $400 and not $200. And then I'm looking, and it looks like it's a different card number. But that is, because, you know, like the last four are on there. But that's the receipt it spit out. So I don't know. I need to monitor the situation that something hasn't happened. But who needs coffee when you look at your ATM receipt? It says available balance $10.76.
If that's at all true, Darren, you guys might want a rainout or two.
I'm in big trouble.
You're in trouble.
We have another tournament this weekend, so yeah, I'll need to get that fixed immediately, or I'll have to start a GoFundMe.
It's ironic.
Let alone feed your family.
Yeah, it's very ironic.
Then there's that bills thing. You know.
Yeah.
You gotta
this
pay.
You know. Sometimes life, you need expenses.
Tony Vitello gets his kids to hit home runs. He makes a lot more money. He gains money. Darren gets his kids to hit home runs, and he loses.
He goes broke.
Money.
Right. No raise. They could give me a raise, but it'll be the same pay. So they could double my salary. They could triple it. Doesn't matter. So we got a lot of things to get into today. We're going to have a special appearance to start the second hour. We're looking forward to that. Someone who was a prominent voice and name at this radio station and on the air, who's in town, and we'll chat with him at 11 o'clock. I'll just leave it at that. Richard Deitch, by the way, at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. because I know a lot of it's been, it's not really been heavily discussed to the length of if Tom Brady was retired, it would be a huge topic, right? But dare I say a $375 million contract has kind of flown under the radar because he's still playing and nobody knows when this is going to actually kick in. But as you know, because you listen to Richard's podcast a lot more than I, that he's been talking about this a lot. And this is, when you think about the deal, this is pretty amazing for a guy who hasn't even done it yet to get a contract like this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that with Richard. If you think about it, this is the most lucrative offseason that football announcers have ever had. It's not even close, right? Because of the shakeup with Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Al Michaels, all the forces came together. Drew Brees and the move that hasn't really panned out. There's been a massive turnover in the premier football announcing seats, and Richard has covered it big time on his. But it would have been that, you know, for starters, without the Tom Brady deal. But then it's like Fox said, oh, you think that was lucrative? You think that was a big shakeup? Let me, you know, hold my beer. It was one of those hold my beer moments.
Uh-huh.
$375 million? Come on. How can you get a return on your investment with that? That will be the main question. But we're talking about Tom Brady.
Well, the very, 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 very few minute people that are in this category, like Tom Brady is, when you're in the category of people have to overpay for your services, that's what happens. And he is lucky to be in that category. Mm-hmm. We would all love to be in that category where people have to overpay for our services.
And you couple that with Fox being kind of desperate because they lost Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman got whisked away by ESPN, who was desperate. It just shows you that maybe it's not as easy as you think to have a premier commentator, you know, one that rises above the rest. It's not easy. And as much as you might, you know, get tired of one announcer or another, the good ones are sought after. And, man, it still fascinates me to this day, some of the money that they pay for those guys. But when you think about the television rights, especially the NFL, it's, you know, it makes sense that you would invest heavily in the people that are bringing you those games. But at the same time, how many more viewers do you get with a game that Tony Romo is doing or a Troy Aikman is doing? Wouldn't most of us be watching the game anyway? We probably would. So that's a great philosophical question that Richard has tried to tackle as well. So we'll get into that at 1 o'clock.
Vincent and Dixon on our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com says, hey, Darren, if you need a few bucks, I don't know a guy. I am the guy.
Ooh. Sponsorship. Is he with a group called Chico's Bail Bonds? Remember, they sponsored the Bad News Bears?
Yes. Look, if you needed to explain that to me, just throw me out the window.
Yeah, I was maybe for the listeners that have not seen the original Bad News Bears, which is the only one.
So what does that mean, Vincent is? He is, I mean, he's the guy, but what does that mean?
Well, it sounds like he's the guy that wants to put his business on the back of your Tidal Wave jersey.
Okay.
He's the bag man.
The bag man.
Ooh. But he could be the legal bag man with the NIL.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't have to.
It's not anything to be ashamed of anymore.
It's out in the open.
That could be a title the school gives you now. Like, you can have your own office in the university now with a nameplate that says the bag man, and it's totally cool.
Like, what would maybe a patch? It just says Vincent and Dixon. Like, what does the patch say?
It could, whatever he wants it to say.
Yeah, that's true.
It could just be a bag, just a patch of a bag.
Vincent,
tells you all you need to know.
Have your people get a hold of my people. We'll see if we can come up with something. We'll come back. Robbie Stanley, he's half of Robbie and Rex Road. Predators have announced they are going to speak tomorrow during our show. 11 o'clock, we obviously will carry that press conference live, David Poyle and John Hines. We'll talk with Robbie about that and a lot more next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Hey, this is the time of year to make sure your unit is working, man. You want it. You want it to be working when the temperatures go way up.
It's hot. Real hot.
George Thorogood tickets to give away at the Ryman. That's tomorrow. I can't look at Robbie. Robbie Stanley, he's half of Robbie and Rex Road mornings leading up to this show. Also the host of Preds Insiders. That's during the 6 o'clock hour. Should give it a listen on Mondays. Predators, speaking of them, have a press conference tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Let me just say this right off the bat. I don't know all the people. Like, I don't understand, and I'd have to go back and look. I don't have the facts in front of me, but everybody acting like, gosh, this is taking forever. Is it, though? Like, it's typically like a week afterwards, isn't it?
It's a little bit longer than normal. Last year's was a week. They've done some before where it's been 3-4 days right after the season. Okay. It's a little long. I mean, it's not like it's some egregious thing, but it's a little bit longer than
so
I think it normally is.
This is 9 days after. Yeah. I mean, but this is also not going to be your typical press conference.
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, I'm really interested to see how this goes and what the message is like from John Hines and David Poyle. I mean, obviously, to me, for those out there wondering whether or not they're keeping their job, I mean, to me, this is a pretty clear indication that they're keeping their job, that they're speaking at a press conference coming up tomorrow. So I think you could put that part of it to rest. But I'm interested to see kind of what the viewpoint is here. And they're going to get a lot of questions. Obviously, Poyle's going to get a lot of questions about Forsberg. I'm interested to get John Hines' thoughts now that the season has ended on how things went down the stretch. And, you know, some guys like Tanner Janot kind of hitting that wall coming down the stretch. You know, how did that work from his vantage point? But I think there's a lot of really interesting things that are going to come up in this press conference tomorrow.
Like what? What do you think is going to be one of the big themes?
Well, one of the things that I'm really interested to ask and to talk about that – I don't know exactly what sort of an answer David Poyle is going to give here.
Are you going to say talk about?
I'm not going to say talk about. If I do, I need you
David,
to fire me.
Talk about.
David, could you please talk about the salary cap, please? I'm going to try to avoid that. But Wayne has called into our show. I know he's called into your guys' show.
Oh, he's made the tour.
And he's made the tour. And I think it's a really interesting question of, like, do you still, as an organization, are you able to spend to the cap? Do you have the green light to spend to the cap? Because, you know, I think some people have taken it of they haven't spent to the cap the last couple of years as this idea of they're just not doing it anymore and they don't have the green light to do it. And that's not always the case. Sometimes you just leave yourself some flexibility, and they've got some flexibility heading into this offseason. So I feel like this offseason is a good time to use that flexibility and to be aggressive in free agency or via trade or however you choose to do it. And I'm interested to see what David Poyle's response to that will be in terms of how he handles that question.
And I think Wayne's message is always – and I think, you know, that's pretty standard that they – but he's saying they've lost money the last couple of years. So, one, it would be good to also get the general manager to clarify one way or the other, is that true?
Right.
I don't think anybody would be surprised if he said on the hockey op side that they have because of, you know, COVID.
Sure.
I would say all teams did. Probably.
But every team that made the playoffs spent to the cap, except for the Predators.
Yeah.
And so I see why the question was, but I've always felt like and assumed, until I hear otherwise, that was by choice because they wanted to play the younger players. They said on the front end what they were going to do. So it's not like they surprised everybody by stopping the spending to the cap.
Well,
because for a long time they start. Remember, back in the day, there was a cap that was not the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Their cap was not the ceiling. Their cap was the midpoint.
It was not the
of
roof.
The salary cap.
The ceiling was not the roof. Yeah,
the ceiling was not the roof.
Well, it's just natural when you go.
But
younger,
they got to the point thanks to the new ownership group. Yeah. They got those days are over. They got to the point where he could spend whatever he felt like he could spend within the salary cap.
And when you go younger, when your lineup's younger, they're not as expensive. I mean, it's just natural that way. So I think that's a big part of it. But I'm interested to see what David Poyle says about that.
Yeah, because to Wayne the caller's point, like, we don't know that.
Sure.
We don't know for sure that is the case behind the scenes. He's trying to present and make the case that David Poyle is being handcuffed, right? Yep. That he's being told, you can't go spend whatever you want.
Which
I'm pretty sure that's not the case.
Well, I know, but you don't know that. When you say I'm pretty sure too, but we don't know. I guess if you want to go back to the Adam Vingan piece right after their season ended, if you're not hearing from ownership and you're not hearing it from their mouth, we knew Craig Leopold. We knew that that was being said. What was going on behind the scenes? It wasn't, I'm pretty sure, we knew. I don't, unless you know something that I don't know, I don't know 100% what's gone on behind the scenes when it comes to those type of conversations.
Well, the interesting part about that is, let's say for a second that it is true that they don't have the green light to spend the cap right now. I don't know that David Poyle is going to be come out and outright saying that tomorrow at the press conference either. So that's why I'm interested to see what the press conference goes like from that standpoint, because I think that is a question. And look, I think the way they handle this offseason, you know, the Forsberg discussion aside, because that's going to have to be the first thing that they figure out either way. But even with him, let's say they get him back in the fold, the way that they handle this offseason in terms of their approach in free agency and their approach, you know, via maybe making some trades. I've heard some people throw out maybe they should offer some offer sheets. You don't see that happen a whole lot in the NHL these days, but that could be a route that they decide to go. They've got flexibility to do that. I mean, Willie, I can't remember the exact figure. I think Cap Friendly has him at what, like $25 million of space right now, close to them?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They have projected cap space, $25,887,000, so close to $26 million. Now, you have 50 contracts that you're going to sign, and obviously you only carry 23, so you can't know exactly how many guys are going to get hurt, guys coming up and down. That is going to affect your salary cap. But that figure is very high compared to, as we pointed out a couple times yesterday, the Vegas Golden Knights, who have 0.0 projected cap space.
Okay.
They're over the cap. So
Dallas
can do some things.
Dallas and Vegas,
is in
there's
trouble.
A lot of teams that have got it. Minnesota, huge issues.
Well, like we said, every team in the playoffs spent to the cap, except for the Predators. So the seven other teams that just got eliminated in the first round, they just went down in the same round as the Predators for different circumstances. But like Minnesota, they went for it. They have no regrets. They said, we went for it. They've lost in the first round 6 years in a row. But now they have $12.7 million of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter that hits. And this is the first of three years where they get hit with that penalty. The penalty goes up the next 2 years to 14 point something per year. They've got Kevin Fiala, a restricted free agent. So there's a great example, Robbie, of a situation. You have a lot of good restricted free agents who are in that years of prime where you're like, this is when you'd want to sign them to a contract, ideally, because you're going to get them in their prime. It's not a 30- or 31-year-old guy
that's
hitting the market, or a guy like Evgeny Malkin or Patrice Bergeron who's 35 or 36 looking for that one more contract. And you have Minnesota, who might not be able to match the offer sheet. They just may not be able to do it because they don't have the room.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, when we talked last week, maybe the Predators have to get creative with their approach. Well, that's one way you get creative is offer sheet.
Yeah.
And that could be, you know, look, Predators fans have experience with an offer sheet. We saw what happened with Shea Weber and the Predators matched it. You don't see it happen very often. I think
Aho
got offered by Montreal and Carolina matched it too.
Most of the time they match.
It gets matched.
But last year, Carolina signed one of Montreal's restricted free agents, Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Yep.
And they knew Montreal couldn't match it. Now, did they overpay a little bit? Maybe. Because what happened was they didn't match it, but they struck a deal.
Yep.
They struck a trade. And so they got some compensation. So I don't know if that is going to work out for Carolina. It was almost like a spite move. Most of the time, the team just matches the offer sheet and finds a way to go forward. They don't want to lose the guy that is being. But I do think there's going to be some teams that are in a position that they have to find a way to create cap space. And the Predators can take advantage of that, I'm hoping.
Okay,
that's one of the things I think they have at their disposal that not a lot of teams do.
Let me ask both of you this, though. And, Robbie, you started. Is this the – I mean – to me, if you are going to go spin to the roof, then you're not getting younger. So what is the plan? I mean, is the plan to spin to the roof? Is this roster, the way it's constructed, is the right way to go about this, to take the next step to spin to the ceiling?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily all the way to the ceiling, but again, like some of these guys, let's say you go offer sheet route, let's say, and Gover threw this out this morning, and I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying that this is what they'll do, but a guy like Patrick Laine, he's 24 years old. Like, he's still young.
He's an ugly man. He really isn't. Very unattractive.
I don't know if he's going to be on cover GQ anytime soon.
But dude can shoot.
He can shoot, and he's 24 years old. Like, that's still, to me, that's getting younger. Like, you're 24 years old. You're in the prime of your career. Like, that's what I'm going after offer sheet-wise if it's a restricted free agent that way. Now, to your point about the top six, like, if you're bringing Forsberg back, hopefully, if you're the Predators. Outside of that, I do think you need to go find another veteran out there to play in your top six, because I just don't know if they have a guy like that right now in their pipeline to play in the top six.
Right, but then you're pushing people either down or out. But
well, they got to be good enough to be in the lineup. Like, you can't just put them in the lineup for the sake of putting young guys in the lineup. Like,
is the second line not wide open right now other than
I understand that, but I'll always go back to, okay, so you want to infuse youth, you're pushing people down, or you're pushing them out. And if it's youth, then what are you doing? Again, you're right back to what they've been in this window for like the last 4 years, where it's been a stalemate, it's been a wall from Milwaukee because there's no room here. Hey, there's no vacancy.
Well, I mean,
we've got all these veterans, we've got big contracts. We don't have room for you young guys.
Sure. I mean, I don't think Nick Cousins is coming back. So there's
okay, that's what I'm saying. You got to eliminate people
that you've opened up there at that point. Look, honestly, I'm interested to see what happens with Luke Cunnan. He's a restricted free agent. He's under their control contractually. So my guess is he's probably going to be back. I said this today. If I'm the Predators, I'm not paying him a dollar more than $2.3 million that he's making right now. So I'm interested to see what happens on that front too. But maybe that's potentially another spot that's opened up there. They've got options to let some guys go if they want to.
Okay, then what are you doing with Tolvanen?
The thing is, I hear the people saying you should trade Ellie Tolvanen. Like, what are you getting back for Ellie Tolvanen right now in a trade? I don't think very much. I don't think you're getting a whole lot back. He's not that expensive. At this point, I'd probably just play him and see if he can figure it out next year.
Play him where?
Third line, maybe. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm on your camp, man. Move Gino up.
I mean, you know how I've
been
feel.
On your camp for a while. So,
okay, what are you doing, Tomasino?
Top six.
So he is on the second line.
Yeah.
So Gino and Tomasino.
Assuming you don't make any other moves. Now, if you go sign up,
then you don't need to. Then you don't need to sign anybody.
Well, I'm not convinced that top six is quite good enough there.
Well, okay. That's what I'm getting at. That's why I'm asking these questions, because again, those are young guys. So are you going to push them down or push them out to bring in bigger names, higher priced guys? Is that
they got room?
Is that the plan to move forward?
They have room.
Is it, hey, Gino can get even better. Tomasino's going to get even better, which I think the three of us believe he's going to keep getting better. Then again, why are we talking about going out and getting
because
guys
they don't have
in
enough.
The top six?
They need those guys and more guys.
The St. Louis Blues had nine guys.
You think
this
their
year.
Lineup's good enough? You know the answer, Darren. Why? You know the answer.
The St. Louis Blues
had
nine guys.
They need
this
more
year
firepower.
That scored 20 goals or more.
Yes.
Nine guys. It's not just top six anymore. Like, you need
offense. And they've got the nine. The herd is that's good to me. To me, you look at the second line, you've got to who's your second line center? Is it Granlund or is it Johansson? You got one guy there.
Yeah.
You need upgrade on that line.
All right.
And they got room to do it.
We'll come back. We're gonna keep you for one more.
Go ahead.
One more seg. Okay. By the way, how'd you hit yesterday?
Monday. Many were all over the place. But some straight. Hit a few good off the tee.
Where did you finish your group?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I never heard. We were 7-under.
Doesn't matter.
Well.
Willie's group won, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Where were we all, 27-under?
I lost track. We had at least a birdie on every hole. We were over 18 over. We had more than 18-under.
Willie, can you tell everybody out there listening and me about Loan Pronto? Because I may need
yes,
one.
Yes, absolutely. If you have a thought of moving, it's hard right now. Loan Pronto knows that. There's not a lot of inventory. You see the cranes all over our city, people looking for places to live. Prices are crazy high, and the rates are moving up. But here is the idea that Loan Pronto wants you to wrap your arms around. If you're a current homeowner, let my friends at Loan Pronto refinance your current home. Turn that equity you have into cash and transform your current house into your dream house, whether it's a new kitchen or a new bathroom or a pool, whatever it might be. Think about it. Your home's value is up, instead of wasting all that on an overpriced new house, convert the equity into cash for a home makeover. Here's an example. A local couple, they added new hardwood floors, an outdoor living space, a swimming pool, plus a home office. And they took the money out of their current home and reinvested and made their home into their dream home. And they never had to move. So call Loan Pronto and ask about the home improvement refi and give your home a makeover. You do it now and you even skip your next house payment in the process. 615-499-5780 for Loan Pronto. That's 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1667181, subject to lender approval.
Okay, bring us back. I can't listen to this anymore. All right.
You're not Robbie down with Stanley. The Backstreet Boys?
No. Robbie Come Stanley on. With us.
Liven up a little bit, Darren.
Come on, Darren. Have some fun.
Come on. Sorry.
Willie was going to let it roll.
Sorry, yeah, not
I was,
sorry.
I was ready Loving for the it. Voice to kick Let's, in.
You joined Rex Row tonight watching Sting and the Police out there.
You looped stuff. On me. Yeah. Oh, you're just...
it's just done.
It's either you're going to ask questions or I'm going to jump in and hog this segment again.
Okay, well... I thought you're going to verbally toss it to me.
I said take it. Go.
I know.
Let's
I don't know
go.
What you're doing over Let's there. Go. You're checking on your bank account for the kids. Just making sure seeing your balance.
Make sure I don't have $10. Yeah.
Making sure you have more than $10 in your account. All right. Well, Robbie, we were just continuing our discussion into the break because it's such an interesting question. There's no easy answers, especially when you start kicking around and comparing it to the situations that a lot of other teams are in. But here, I do think that David Poyle's in a position where, and this is, I thought you guys had an interesting angle this morning kicking around with, you kind of have to sell what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Because David Poyle in particular has been around for so long, and it is nuanced. You have to look closely. It's easy from afar to just say, well, they've lost four straight years in the first round. But if you take a look, it has been a systematic move. Every year is different, but particularly the last 2 years, he has spun the roster around to get a lot younger. But I do think it would be smart for him to sort of sell, here's where we're going to go. Here's the groundwork we laid. Now we're ready to go back and see if we can get better. And here's how we've positioned ourselves to get better. I think that would be important.
I think it's important to the fan base. Look, I think it's important to some of the veterans on the team as well, because
maybe even number nine.
Oh, yeah, I've thought about that. Yeah. I've thought about Forsberg in the negotiations. I mean, he talked last week, and I thought he had an interesting comment. Philip Forsberg did in his kind of end of season wrap up, and he talked about, you know, he's played here, he wants to be here, all these different things, and said the right things. And I believe him. I've said for a long time, I believe that he wants to play here. But he did say in his comments, but I'm also, like, I want to win a Stanley Cup. And that's what he talked about. And, you know, I think it's easy if you're a fan on the outside right now to say, huh, I just don't know how close the Predators are to being a contender for the Stanley Cup. So there's the Forsberg angle of this. Guys, the other part I think about is, I don't know if we've stopped and appreciated enough the season that Roman Josi just had. He put up 96 points as a defenseman. He's probably, I think, going to win his second Norris Trophy. And he's 31 years old. Like, this is a player that does not come around very often. And he's right now in the prime of his career. Don't you think he wants, like, a clear path of when you're going to competitive again?
That's why I think the competitive transition was worth a shot. Because you do surrender that if you go for a full rebuild. Because, and as we've said many times, when you go for a full rebuild, you can't put a timetable on it. You might say, okay, it's going to take us about 3 years, 4 years. You know, we needed to strip it down. We'll get the first pick. It is an uncertain thing. So I think trying to turn it around systematically is important. And I'll throw another name in there. You got Juuse Saros, who is – had two straight Vezina type of years. I think he got screwed out of being a finalist last year.
Agreed.
He is a finalist this year. He's still very young, just turned 27. So you'd be a fool not to think, hey, let's see if we can put a championship team around him, because he's a guy that can tip the scales in your favor. So I do think that's a great point. You're not only trying to sell to your fan base and try to, you know, keep some ticket sales bouncing back after going through a pandemic here, but you're also trying to sell to your own team. Yeah, we can build back at champion. We can now – you got a tough division, right?
Yeah.
We're watching – that was a battle last night. Colorado was so good. St. Louis was hanging on, still found a way to get the game to overtime. But those are really good teams. So you got to think, how do we get closer to those teams?
You got to think about that. And, you know, David Poile is in a spot right now where I'm not sure he's ever really been in this spot before. You're in a transition with your franchise, and he's been here for almost 25 years. And we talked about this last week. That just doesn't happen in pro sports. And there is a portion of the fan base right now that wants him out and wants another general manager in there. And, you know, he's gone through, you know, times before where he's had to strip it down with this franchise and build it back up. Nobody was really clamoring for his job then. The fan base has changed. I think in a lot of ways it's really good. There's expectations that come along with this team. I think this team is and this fan base has graduated from just being happy making the playoffs to they want real expectations to make a push for a cup and win a Stanley Cup. So I think that's a great spot to be in as a franchise, but pressure comes along with that. And there are a lot of people that are upset that David Poile's coming back as general manager. Now, you can think whatever you want to think about that, but that's the reality of the situation with some of the fan base. And I think that there is going to be, to your point, Willie, there needs to be a sell of a clear path forward to not only, you know, continue to get better in terms of your young players, but how do you move closer to being a contender for the Stanley Cup? Because right now, I just don't think they're all that close to that.
Well, part of that, you know, yes, this market's grown up. Yes, it's cool. Yes, there's passion. Yes, there's expectations. But as we fielded a lot of calls when the series was over, and I mean a lot, and had a lot of feedback, the other part of this is, you know, there's fans out there that said, you've kept raising my ticket prices,
yeah.
So I've got more invested in this, which I've got more invested in, it means I expect more. And that's really with anything, right? If you
sure.
pay more for a steak, then you expect that steak to be good, right? If you go out to a restaurant and you know you're going to be paying more, you expect great service and great food. That's
yeah.
just how it works. So I thought that was a fair point by a lot of diehard fans that said, hey, you know, my ticket prices
yeah.
have gone up, up, up. I'm locked in for years. I expect more, and you know how do you push back or argue with that?
It's a good point. Let's use another example, and we'll tie it in with Forsberg. The LA Kings, they won two Stanley Cups, 2012, 2014. They hung on for a few years after that, didn't win a lot in the playoffs, got swept in 2018 by Vegas in the first round. Have not been back to the playoffs until this year. They broke it down. Now, they went full rebuild at that point. They fired Daryl Sutter. They started over. Only now, so they went 4 or 5 years of nothing. They made the playoffs a little bit ahead of schedule this year. Now, they have got the cap space to throw big money at a Philip Forsberg. Now, that's an interesting one there. Like, we're talking about L.A. We're talking about you need... Like you said, ticket prices are high, expectations are high. They just went through the hard rebuild. They did it. And now they've got a pretty good
Again,
young
though,
nucleus.
You can do it whenever you've got skins on the wall. It's yeah. easier to tell your
now,
fan base, hey,
we
got a couple of cups,
yeah.
and we need you to be patient. Like, we won. We yeah. had a great times. It's time to
right.
start over some.
So we go back to the sell, right, for David Poile. Elliot Friedman said it on our show. It's a hard sell if you can't bring Philip Forsberg back to the table.
Yeah.
You better come up. You better have another plan ready to tell me about if he's not included. And you know, life would go on. It's like when they lost Ryan Suter, life went on. They took a dip, but then they came back. They drafted Seth Jones. They traded for Philip Forsberg, and the next thing you know, they were back in the mix without Ryan Suter. Life went on somehow, but it is a hard sell. So. Philip Forsberg is an interesting one because there are a few teams like, and I look at LA. Victor Arvidsson's out there. He's, you know, he got hurt. He didn't really do a whole lot, but he could probably give Philip Forsberg a pretty good idea of what it's like out there. Cost of living's pretty high out there. But I still say that you have the hammer if you're the Predators. You have the eighth year. for the LA Kings to outbid Nashville with the cost of living, that should not happen. That would just simply mean either Philip Forsberg doesn't want to be here or the Predators haven't offered him what they ought to offer him, honestly.
Yes or no, it happens.
I say yes. I said this morning I'm 60-40 on Forsberg coming back. I was at the deadline at about 90-10 he was coming back, so it's gone down significantly. But I say yes, he's back.
At what?
I've said all along 8 years, $8.5 million per. So I'll stick with it. Eight years, $8.5 million per.
Okay.
Okay, 8 years, $8.5 million per. I happen to think you're really close. That's $68 million guaranteed. So let's just take LA. Take away the cost of living difference, which is significant in California, as we know. Talk to anybody. Ooh. Just look at a gas price thing. Yeah, just jog around and look at the gas prices in California. To get past $68 million
at 7 years,
yeah, you have to go over $9.5 million.
Yeah,
$9.5 million. Now that's more than Braden Point. Mm-hmm. That's more than Leon Draisaitl. That's more. I mean, there's if a guy is making more than that, he's either an ultra superstar, which Philip Forsberg is not. He's a great player, or it's an overpaid guy like Tyler Seguin.
Yep.
And Dallas would love to get out from that Tyler Seguin contract.
Yeah.
And injuries have something, but this is what happens, right? Look at Michael Stone for Vegas. Great player.
Mark
Stone, sorry. Yeah. His brother is Michael, who plays for the Flames. Mark Stone, captain, signed up big time. 8 years, $9 million a year, I think.
Yep.
He's 30. Back problem. Hey, stuff starts happening when you get up there. I mean, it's hard. I would have said for sure Mark Stone is worth that. I'd love to sign up for that, but risky.
Yep. It's very risky.
Robbie, appreciate it as always.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate
y'all. Good to see you. Thanks for doing this. We will hear from you tomorrow, I guess, starting at 11 o'clock. We'll be carrying that press conference live here on our airwaves. Bob, we'll get to you on the other side to close out hour number one of the DDC. That's next. Back here on the DDC. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bob has been waiting patiently in Antioch.
Good morning, guys. If the Predators sign Forsberg, name a couple of free agents you think they should go after, like a defenseman and a top six forward, and then if they happen to not sign him, who would you like to see them pursue in that scenario?
Mm. Oh boy, if they don't sign him, it's a long. I mean, I don't know what you do because it's just that's the list becomes pretty long.
Well, I said on Robbie and Rex Road Monday morning at 9 o'clock. If they don't, to me, I guess they got to get back in the room and shut the door and come up with a new plan because I just don't think you can't stay the course. In my opinion.
That's tough. Well, okay, so let's try to attack.
You gotta replace him, and then you have to find guys to remember, you're talking about coming back with a plan to take a step forward.
Yes.
So you gotta replace him and then find other players? Like
I don't like the idea of that.
I don't think that makes any sense.
And look, why is it taking so long? Because you don't wanna have to overpay him. You know, they get one shot. Once you've made this commitment, in theory, 8 years, it's locked in. You can't adjust it. You can't renegotiate it. So you're trying to get the best deal you can get, just like Philip Forsberg trying to get the best deal for himself. I think that's why it takes a long time. But we just said, for a team to pry him away from the Predators, if the Predators just go to $8.5 million a year, which I don't know that they have yet, because they may be waiting to see if they can get him to take a little bit less. Like, even if it's 8.4 or 8.3, that's money you save down the road.
What's going to change now, though? I mean, it's either he's going to wait till free agency.
A lot can change.
Or you're going to get something done.
Landeskog went to the day before free agency started last year. They had there was a lot of drama with that. Elliot and Jeff Merrick, they kept talking about it every week, it seemed like. It's over. They stopped talking. You know, it was public for a while, and then it got done, and it could go the other way.
So let's just talk. Let's go on the premise that he's back.
Okay, I looked at a list. Now,
unrestricted free agents, there's not a lot, honestly, that are home runs. Now, Johnny Gaudreau is the obvious one, right? He just got game-winning goal, game seven in overtime. He just had 113 points?
Chuck and Gaudreau are not going. They're not leaving Calgary.
No?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. We should look at their cap situation because it is not.
Well, then they'll shed somebody else. I just don't think those two guys.
See, that's the problem. In football, you can do that. You can shed.
Those guys.
And then pay the penalty down the road. In hockey, it's harder to do that.
David Poile has shedded over the years.
Yes, he did, and he should be getting credit for that. Okay, people want to hammer him for
Ryan
that.
Ryan Ellis, shedded Victor Arvidsson. By the way, how did those two guys play this year? Would they have helped this Predators team?
I think that's a fair point. Would they have been any higher in the standings with those guys?
The answer to me is no.
I mean, maybe, but knowing that Ryan Ellis only played four games, I think, and Victor Arvidsson missed close to 20 games.
Right, but what were we saying about Ryan Ellis for years? Can't stay healthy.
And it's going to be harder to stay healthy as you get older.
Every year, yeah.
Especially with the way he plays and the position he plays and his body type.
I don't even play professional sports. I can vouch for that. So, yeah. It happens.
And your body type is different than his body type.
My body type is definitely different. Yes, it is. Thanks for clearing
that
up.
We'll leave it there. But here are some guys that I'm looking at. The unrestricted free agents, you got Gaudreau, Evander Kane. I don't think they're going to get into that game. Right? Although Evander Kane has played really well.
That's a no.
He's played really well. But yes, I tend to agree. They're probably not going to go down that road. Three guys on Colorado playing last night. Andre Burakovsky, pretty good player. Now, is he your home run? Hey, just put him in. If you put him in with another guy or two, I think he's a pretty good player. Val Nichushkin, darn good player.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, he's playing with superstars.
Come on.
So how would he look?
Give me the other one. Just one more.
On Colorado?
Yes.
Well, Darcy Kemper is a free agent, but
no,
that's not who they're looking for.
Who else?
Who are you getting at?
Is it Kadri?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
That's a yes.
Yeah.
That's a yes for me.
He's not playing real well right now, but he had a great year.
That's a yes for me.
You like Kadri?
Yes. What type of player do I tend to gravitate towards?
Edgy.
Baby poop soft players?
Yeah. Edgy.
Edgy guys.
Edgy tough. Yeah.
Yeah. You think he fits what they're doing? Probably so.
Maybe so. That's a fair one.
And, oh, by the way, he produces.
He just had a career year. He had over 80 points. Now, in the playoffs, I don't know what's going on. He's the one guy that's really not playing real well right now. Then you got this group of restricted free agents who we're talking about. Kevin Fiala is one. Look at Vancouver. They've got some interesting situations. Brock Besser is a restricted free agent. Pretty good player.
Again, don't see him leaving, but go ahead.
But they've got... They have tough choices. JT Miller, 1 year left at 5.25.
I could see him being out.
Heavily rumored to be on the trade block.
Yep.
29 years old.
Yeah.
But he's a good player.
Okay.
Would he help the second line?
Sure.
No question about it. Bo Horvat, he's more like a third line checking center, 1 year left, 5.5.
Don't see him leaving. I don't think Horvat or Besser are leaving.
But this is... Vancouver has got a reality check.
Miller,
they can't keep all these guys.
But I will say Miller, though.
Miller is the guy that I think is going to move. Matthew Tkachuk, restricted free agent. We just talked about that.
Not happening.
Just to bring him back, you got to qualify him at almost $8 million.
Well, I can't stand him, but my answer would be yes. But I don't believe he's going to be available. My answer is
you're saying he's
yes.
not going to be available. Jake DeBrusk is another one that I think, heavily rumored to be asked to be traded.
Yeah.
Ended up playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Sticking it out for the Bruins. Only 25.
Yeah.
I think that's one.
Why has there always been circulating about – I don't know enough about him behind – I would need to do a deep dive behind the scenes, what he's like. It seems like there's always been stuff around DeBrusk. Why?
It's like
Line A. Like, you know how I am.
Line A is another one that's
– Is Columbus clamoring to keep him?
I think they're listening to
okay,
offers.
They're listening. Right. Okay. But so, again,
because he got paid a lot of money.
Why
at
would
a
he
young
be on
age?
His third team at his age? And everybody's like, Patrick Lyon, second pick overall.
Well, because they invested big money in them, both of those guys, DeBrusque to a lesser degree, but a lot, before they really hit big, before they produced. And it kind of like, ooh. Hasn't really produced.
Do you think Columbus asked
him
to get a makeover and he's refusing? No.
Maybe.
Fix his teeth? No.
Play less video games?
Play less video games?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pass on him.
Line A?
Yeah.
He's awfully young.
Nashville's a beautiful city.
Same with DeBrusque. DeBrusque was in a bad place and then all of a sudden was doing some good things.
All right.
That's a starter's list. There's more, but. The unrestricted free agent is a risky thing because there's a reason that they are going into the pool.
Good question, Bob. Thanks for the call. Question. We'll come back. Surprise guest to begin the second hour. That's next.